Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Mike, check.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome one and all to another terrific installment of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am one of your hosts, Joe Molinax. I am the site manager over at SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com, your source for Memphis Grizzlies coverage, game coverage, features, all sorts of fun things. We dabble in a lot of different types of fun items over at grizzlybearblues.com, and I appreciate you partaking in the site, and I appreciate you listening to the podcast wherever you are, however you may be listening to the show this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. I do not do this program alone, thank goodness. I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Mr. Brandon Connor. He's an associate editor over at grizzlybearblues.com. And as I said, he is my partner in GBB Living. Brandon, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing very well. I'm very excited about this week's show. We're going to get right into it here. And I'm not as angry this week. So for everybody who listened last week, thank you so much for listening. I got some nice compliments about my ranting and raving, which I appreciate. But I'm much calmer this week. I have entered the stage of grief that is acceptance. I've accepted where we are and we'll move forward until our guest says something and it'll make me snap again. But I won't snap at him, I promise, because he's very nice joining us on this week's episode. Ways to get in touch with the show, you can follow us on Twitter at GBB Live. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax, M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X. You can follow my co-host Brandon Connor at Ball From Grace. And you can follow our blog, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com, at SBN Grizzlies. We're going to jump right into it because our guest, who really needs no introduction, but he is the first time on Grizzly Bear Blues Live, so we will give him a good introduction because he is certainly deserving of it. And he is one of the very best out there when it comes to covering the NBA. He focuses on various aspects of the NBA that are closer to our NBA nook, the Memphis Grizzlies. He focuses on the Dallas Mavericks, Houston Rockets, obviously the Grizzlies, some more of the Southwest Division and other teams like that. He is very often a leading newsbreaker when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies, even more so than some local folks. He is very tuned in with the organization. He covers the NBA for ESPN. He is Band McMahon on the Hoop Collective. He has his own theme song. It is an awesome theme song. Anytime you have your own theme song, you know you've made it. And ESPN's Tim McMahon joins us live here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Tim, thank you so much for taking the time out. My first question for you is, what is it like to have your own theme song?
Well, my first question for you is, where's my theme song? I don't podcast without my theme song being played. So you either got to sing it yourself or, you know, I don't know if you've got a guitar handy or, I mean,
hold on. I might
probably
be able to
own a guitar.
I might be able to do you one better. We have a former GBBer. And you might be able to relate to this a little bit. Obviously, with your relationship with Chandler Parsons, did a great piece on him heading into the season. We had a former blogger with us and podcaster. He made a song called Chandle in the Wind. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, I got to hear this.
Okay, it's only 30 seconds long, so it's short. Here we go. This is Chandle
in
the Wind.
Thank goodness.
And it seems to me you lived your life like a chandle in the wind, never knowing when the jump shot would start to go in. And I would have liked to know you when you had working knees. Your chandle burned out long before your contract ever will.
Now, for full disclosure, obviously satire and some enjoyable moments there. And there's no bigger fan of Chandler Parsons than me. I don't know if you know that or not, Tim, but I'm a pretty big supporter.
I read your kind of sad love letter. What could have been?
Oh, My love letter. That's a nice way to put it. It's kind of like that. Well, I appreciate you reading, Tim. And again, I appreciate you joining us. I'm sorry that we don't have your theme song queued up, but hopefully Chandel will fill in a pinch here. We'll jump right into it because obviously it's an extremely busy time for you, and we appreciate you taking the time. And as I mentioned before, you're pretty tuned in with the goings on with our Memphis Grizzlies here. Before we get to Chandler, and I'll let Brandon handle Chandler since everybody assumes that I'll be too sappy towards Chandler, as you put it. Last week on our podcast, I lost it a little bit when it came to Tyreke Evans not being traded. And there were a lot of members of the Grizzlies fan base who shared my opinions. Chris Harrington, who I know you're familiar with, of the Pick and Pop and Memphis Commercial Appeal, he put a poll out asking about the overall reaction of the fan base to that lack of a move. And essentially 90% of the fan base was pissed off at the fact that Tyreke Evans was still a Grizzly. So just in as far as you can, you know, kind of elaborate with, I know your sources and whatnot, just how close were they to getting a deal done for Tyreke Evans? Was the first round pick ever really in play? Or is this something where Lou Williams got his contract extension, and then that's really when the Grizzlies thought that, hey, maybe we can keep this guy long term?
Well, look, if there had been a first-round pick, they'd have taken it. They're insisting on a first-round pick, and there was only one of those moved the whole trade deadline. I guess if you want to count the one that was moved for Blake, two of those moved. But teams were not giving up a first-round pick for a pure rental. And, you know, the Grizzlies were stubborn to a fault, and it's completely ridiculous that they didn't trade him. How are you going to take a guy off a road trip, sit him down, put him on ice until he's traded, and then not trade him? How are you going to be a team that needs to be in tank mode and bring back a guy who you've got no real advantage on signing him this summer, and he's going to win you some games down the stretch? You have to play him, especially if you do want to sign him this summer. The last thing you can do is – you know, sit him and mess with his minutes and not give him a chance to showcase himself and put some bad blood in the mix. But you trade Tyreke Evans for the highest bid in large part because you don't want him around your team winning games and have your draft pick float in a 7-8-9 instead of, you know, 3-4-5.
It's good to hear somebody outside of the Memphis bubble saying those things, because I've had the opportunity, you know, to talk to other folks, whether it be on this podcast or on other radio shows, interviews for the blog. You know, everybody that I've talked to is kind of the similar mindset to you, Tim. The idea that we weren't quite sure what they were doing because you look at Tyreke Evans, the season that they're having or that he is having, I should say, and he's obviously going to be somebody who will be coveted on the free agent market, even if it is the mid-level exception that is the floor of his value, which is probably fair. But I also think it's fair to say that even in a slower market, somebody's probably going to offer him more than that. So let's assume that Tyreke Evans, in worst case scenario, the MLE is all he gets, all right? But other good teams can offer that. So I guess what I'm trying to get at here, Tim, is we, as a Grizzlies blog, obviously we deal with a lot of Memphis people, and people are very much in the Memphis bubble. They don't think outside of that bubble. When they hear a player say, oh, man, I just love it in Memphis. I love it here. It's terrific. I just really enjoy myself. They fall in love with the guy because Memphis is a place that, you know, historically speaking, has had issues retaining free agents or even getting a free agent to come in, a variety of things, a variety of reasons for that. But Memphis as a small market, not an attractive free agent destination. So they hear somebody say, ooh, I love Memphis, and they latch on. But if Miami or Philadelphia or even the Lakers, if they swing and miss on a large free agent, maybe they sign LeBron but not Paul George or vice versa, and maybe they want to sign Tyreke to a one-year, $18 million contract, and then Tyreke's back on the open market the next summer. There's so many variables outside of just, oh, I love Memphis, I'm going to stay for the mid-level exception. It really is more probable than not that he's not going to be a Grizzly next year, right?
I mean, look, I'm sure he does love Memphis. He spent a semester and change there. Who knows what the coaching staff is? Maybe there's a connection there. Maybe it's a whole new coach and staff. He doesn't love Memphis enough to take less money to stay with a rebuilding franchise. I mean, that ain't happening. He loves Memphis, and as long as they're the high bidder, he'll be back there, I'm sure. But like you said, whether they're the high bidder really remains to be seen and might not be in their control. Now, I do think if he gets more than mid-level, I think it is one of those one-year deals. There ain't going to be very many people getting more than mid-level on multi-year deals this summer. And maybe it's a situation like Philly with J.J. Redick or like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with the Lakers, with one of those two teams, certainly a possibility. But I don't think someone's going to blow him away with, you know, a 3-4 year deal for an 8-figure salary. I think the mid-level might get it done. But the other thing is, what, like you said, what if he has various mid-level offers? Does he love Memphis enough to come back to a team that's going to have a hard time cracking the playoffs in the Western Conference? If, say, a Philly's making the same bid or another team that's a contender that can offer the full mid-level, I seriously doubt it.
Well, that makes sense. Just Memphis is probably going to have to offer multiple years at least and maybe a player option to keep him around, I would think. Speaking of getting into bidding wars, let's talk a little bit more about Chandler Parsons. Just briefly, I wanted to ask, this was kind of put out there by Ronald Tillery of the Commercial Appeal, but there were rumors that the Grizzlies had, when Parsons hadn't played for a while, that they had actually approached his camp about a possible injury retirement. Did you hear anything, any rumors similar to that? Can you speak to the veracity of those reports?
Well, I didn't hear anything about him being approached. That may or may not have happened. But I can tell you there is a 0% chance that Chandler Parsons is interested in any sort of injury retirement. Matter of fact, talking to people who know him well and are around that situation, there was some impatience on their end as far as, okay, he's ready to go. Why isn't he back on the floor? You know, they thought he could have been playing well before last night. So if the Grizzlies want to dump that contract, it's not going to be as easy as an injury retirement. I mean, hey, if they want to stretch him, maybe that's an option. I don't know if that makes sense for them cap wise, you know, especially if you're going to do it this summer, because then he's on the books for 5 more years instead of 2 more years, obviously at a much lower number. But he's not retiring. Matter of fact, he might not have the final say on this, but he's hoping this isn't his last contract.
Well, we're certainly hoping that, you know, the Grizzlies have signed a couple of players, Brandon Wright, Vince Carter, who have come out of Dallas. And so far, year three has been the magical year. Vince Carter was, you know, terrible year one, okay in year two, and then was great in year three. Brandon Wright was, you know, an injury riddle for the first couple of years and then finally had decent minutes when he got to play this season before he was bought out. So I think a lot of Grizzlies fans are hoping that year three for former Maverick players is the magic number for Parsons as well. So you spoke that he's anxious to get on the floor. So if he's ready to go, what are kind of expectations moving forward for what they'll do with his minutes management? Is he still going to sit out back-to-backs for the rest of the year? And then moving on from next season, how much do you think he'll be another year removed from the knee surgery? Do you think he's going to be able to play more minutes and give, you know, play more in terms of back-to-backs and 4 games in 5 nights? Do you think moving forward that's what the expectation – can you kind of speak to the expectations of him moving for the rest of the season and into next year?
I mean, look, if you're asking if he's ever going to be able to live up to the max contract, no, that's not going to happen. I think just like early this season, I think he can be a productive player in a limited role. I mean, he's not going to be a guy who can give you 35 minutes a night. His knees are something that are going to have to be managed for the rest of his career. You know, the back-to-backs, I don't know how that's going to go, but I would be surprised if he's ever a guy who's averaging more than 24, 25 minutes a night, whether that's a starter, whether it's coming off the bench. I think that kind of depends on the other pieces and the situation. But I just think that kind of the ceiling for Chandler Parsons at this point is that he's a really efficient, productive kind of part-time player. And by part-time, I mean a guy whose minutes are somewhere in the mid-20s. And hopefully he's playing the vast majority of the games. But obviously that hasn't been the case these last couple of years.
Yeah, he's for the start of the season, he's averaging 20.6 minutes a game, and he's shooting 41% from three and 48% from the floor. And I think most Grizzlies fans, if you had offered that to him after last season, I think they would have taken it. But just it'll be interesting to see what he's like going forward.
Yeah, and again, you know, if you're talking about that's what you're getting for $94 million over 4 years, that's not a great deal. But there, you know, there's no takebacks on that. They gave him the contract. He's trying to give them all that he can. But they took a major risk medically, and it has not panned out for him so far.
Absolutely.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, joined by my co-host, Brandon Connor, and our guest this week, ESPN's Tim McMahon. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so. If you're an NBA fan, you probably already do, but at ESPN underscore MACMAHON. Great stuff on Chandler Parsons and Tyreek Evans. I will always think, Tim, that Chandler Parsons, if he could have been the player that he was for Houston, obviously Dallas, those late stretches, that the Memphis Grizzlies, he was a perfect fit for them. And as you mentioned, you read my piece. And I say that almost every time I wax nostalgically about Chandler Parsons. But it's a situation where, in your opinion, again, obviously, like you said, knowing the folks that are close to Chandler, everything that Chandler has done since he's been a Grizzly has been him, aside from maybe a questionable Instagram post here or there, him being a model employee, doing the very best he can to maximize himself in a tough spot. Your body fails you when it fails you, and it just kind of is what it is. Going back to that summer and the Grizzlies offering that contract, he was and still is the biggest free agent signing the Grizzlies have ever signed. You know, hindsight is 2020, but do you think, obviously the Grizzlies probably regret it now, but they had to take that swing for the fence. Do you agree with that? In order for Memphis, they had the money. Mike Conley, obviously, his free agency was up at the same time. They needed to show that they were committed to trying to build the best team they could. You know, one of the arguments that people make in favor of the Chandler Parsons signing is the idea that Mike Conley possibly could have walked if they didn't make that kind of a move. Do you think that's true?
I definitely think they had to show commitment to winning to Mike Conley, but they also had to show him the fifth year. And it's
right.
A partial guarantee, but he got that fifth year. I don't know if Mike Conley's walking with that fifth year, as much money as it is even on the partial guarantee. They took a huge risk, and I think that you had to ask yourself, okay, if the Mavericks, as much as Mark Cuban loves this guy personally, are walking away, is this a risk worth taking? They decided it was. Like I said, hindsight's 2020. Certainly in hindsight, it's been a major mistake. But they are in a tough spot because as a small market, it's one of those things where if you can get a guy who is a free agent after all those years of not being able to get any interest, if you can get a guy who's one of the top free agents in the class, even if he's got some warts on him, to say yes, you know, it's hard to turn that down. Now, you know, they were also in kind of a weird spot where they obviously the grit and grind era was great, but I think at that point they were already leaning toward moving on from Zebo, moving on from Tony Allen. So they were already, you know, they had a new coach, and Fizz obviously, which didn't last too long, which is a whole nother deal there. But
right.
I think they're already kind of transitioning to a new era. And, a healthy Chandler Parsons really fit what the picture was as far as the transition. But they really have never gotten a healthy Chandler Parsons, and they didn't see the transition through by firing their coach, a season and a third or a season and a quarter into his tenure.
And it's looking more and more likely like we'll never see a fully healthy Chandler Parsons, which is really disappointing and was the point of that piece last week on my end. It was nice to see him back out there playing last night. You could tell he was rusty. Hopefully he's able to get back into the swing of things moving forward as we get out of the All-Star break next week. Speaking of All-Star, the Grizzlies have one player participating in the festivities this weekend, and it's not in the actual All-Star game itself. Dylan Brooks was named to the Rising Stars game, the Rising Stars Challenge. He'll be participating in that event on Friday night. And he is a nice example of, you know, the running joke, Tim, in Memphis is the Grizzlies draft better with second-round picks than first-round picks. So maybe getting a couple of seconds for Tyreek would have been good. But the fact is that Dylan Brooks, you know, Deontay Davis, obviously you've got guys like Ivan Rabb, several young players who have, in this lost season, it's not totally lost for them because of the fact that they're getting opportunity to play, put in minutes, maybe show that they're willing and able to be actual rotation players on a good team, which Memphis in theory hopes to be next season. You get Mike Conley back, an efficient Chandler Parsons. I think we all agree that that player, even though he's not worth the contract, at least would make the Grizzlies better. And then you have a high draft pick, which we'll talk more about here in a moment. But when you look at these young Grizzlies, Andrew Harrison had a huge game against the Thunder last night in a losing effort. Is Dylan Brooks the best prospect on this Grizzlies roster in terms of improvement moving forward? My main thing with these Grizzlies, and obviously it kind of holds true because of their record, is that you have so many guys that are outside of their ideal roles, including Marc Gasol, who's expected to be the best player on a team, and he's not physically capable of doing that anymore. Dylan Brooks is not capable of playing 39 minutes a game. I mean, physically he is, but on a good team, he would not be asked to do that. Do you see Dylan Brooks as the best prospect on this Grizzlies roster? Is he a guy who can maybe be one of those starting wings for Memphis for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years on another contract coming up?
Yeah, I think he has that kind of potential. You know, I don't think he's a franchise cornerstone kind of talent, but I think he's tremendous value in the second round. I do think he has starting potential. You know, franchise cornerstone, I'm talking about guys like what Gasol's been, what Conley's been. I don't think he's going to be a guy that you build around, but I do think he can be a piece. And, you know, they better get a guy you can build around in the first round this year, because if you're the Grizzlies, I mean, you guys know as well as anybody, you can't be missing on high lottery picks. You've been there and lived that. That's a way to stay rebuilding for a long, long time. But I think Brooks is a nice piece, just not a franchise cornerstone kind of guy.
I would agree with that. I think that's entirely fair. We'll get you out of here on this, Tim. And again, thank you so much for your time. We know you're busy heading into All-Star Weekend here. The Grizzlies, I'm looking at tankathon.com right now, which I became a Grizzlies fan in 2010, Tim, when I first moved to Memphis. And I'm not used to this. I know Grizzlies fans who have been around a lot longer are very used to the tanking and the empty state arenas and all that. I'm getting used to following a losing team here. The Grizzlies are currently tied with 5 other teams as we record this on a Thursday night for in terms of wins in the win column for the overall pick, quote unquote, AKA most lottery balls in the NBA lottery. In order for Memphis to maximize this draft pick, let's say you're in charge of the organization, whether it's as the head coach, the GM, whatever it might be, how are you, A, keeping the mentality of the team level? Because you can't sit Marc Gasol. That's not realistic. I don't think benching Tyreke Evans is realistic. But at the same time, if you look at the teams that are tied with Memphis, Sacramento, Orlando, Dallas, Atlanta, Phoenix, I mean, they're all pretty bad. So how do the Grizzlies find – right, and they all are actively tanking. You're exactly right, especially teams like the Kings and folks like that. So how would you, if you were running the Grizzlies, maximize your opportunity within realistic points? Like I said, can't bench Tyreke, can't completely sit down Mark. What would you do to try to get the Grizzlies to maximize their potential here, maybe sneak into the top 3 heading into the lottery?
Well, I think you have to have a conversation with Gasol in particular and say, look, you know, there's going to be times where you're not closing games. And I'm sorry, this is where the franchise is. You know, they're doing it in Dallas, they're doing it in other places, and we're going to go young to close games. You spin it as the priorities, player development, which we all know what that translates to. But I think you have to do that. And then they screwed up on Tyreke Evans. He should not be on their roster. And again, with him going into free agency, if you want to re-sign him, I don't think you can sit him. If you want to keep a good relationship there, I don't think you can mess around with him and mess with his minutes and mess with his chance to showcase himself, especially if you want to be in a situation where you think you have a chance to get him if you're not outbidding somebody, if the bids are even. So they screwed that one up. That ship has sailed. They messed that one up before the trade deadline.
Oh, that hurts me. That hurts, Tim. I thought I was past it, and then somebody as smart as plugged in as you saying that, oh, man, the anger's coming back. We'll get you out of here on this. Again, I'm trying to keep my positivity going here. What is something that Grizzlies fans, again, you've watched the Grizzlies more than most ESPN and national media folks have, What is something that we can actually look forward to watching this team down the stretch? You know, lots of people say young players, things like that. Maybe Dylan Brooks is that guy. But what is something that we can get out of a season, like I said, especially a fan like me who came on at the beginnings of the grit and grind era, getting back? We all knew this was eventually going to happen. We're here. What is something that we can focus on in this spot to try to get us through as April approaches here these next couple of months?
March Madness.
Oh, man. Not fair enough.
You know,
but
mean,
you're right.
Watch the young guys and then decide which draft picks, you know, which draft prospects are your favorites. I mean, that's what it is. It's going to be a painful last third of the season. You've got company in your misery, but that's just the way it is. And like I said, the worst thing that a rebuilding team can do is not fully embrace rebuilding. And that's kind of where the Grizzlies are right now. And it's not just the Tyreke Evans thing. For them to absolutely refuse to take calls on Marc Gasol, I'm not saying you have to actively stop him. I'm not saying you're looking to dump him for pennies on the dollar, but you at least need to gauge what the market is. I mean, do you really feel like 33-year-old Marc Gasol is still going to be a big-time impact kind of player when the Grizzlies are ready to compete again?
No, he's not that now, and that's kind of the most painful thing of it is you get to see a guy like Marc Gasol, you said, franchise cornerstone, all that is true, one of the most important Grizzlies ever. I would say the best Grizzlies player of all time, maybe not the most beloved, that would be Zach Randolph, but the best overall player is Marc Gasol. And, you know, to see he's definitely battling his basketball immortality this year. And that's something that I agree with you on. They don't fully embrace that mentality, and that's a problem for them. Tim, thank you so much for your time. Again, I know it's a busy time for you. We appreciate it. Hopefully we can have you back on the show down the line.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
thank
Tim.
You very much. There he goes, ESPN's Tim McMahon. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, @ESPN_McMahon. That was an awesome segment. Much appreciative, very appreciative of his time here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We're carrying on. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am one of your hosts, Joe Monax, joined by Brandon Connor, and we're about to take your calls. So if you want to call in, you have a hot take for us, perhaps. You listen to the show live. If you're not listening live, that's okay. Next time that we record, maybe you listen live, you can call in. But we are going to take a couple of calls here. That was a shorter segment. Again, Tim, very gracious with his time on a very busy time for him, as he probably prepares to head out to the All-Star break, our All-Star game in Los Angeles. Brandon, I do want to gauge, before we start taking these phone calls, your take on that interview. I thought it was pretty open. I wasn't expecting him to be as direct about the future of Chandler Parsons. That kind of shot me right in the heart, if I'm going to be honest. I was hoping that maybe he'd be a little bit more positive given his access to the way Chandler has pushed himself. But I think that is the realistic world that we live in. That is the peak. That's the ceiling that we have to hope for. Just a simply efficient basketball player in the NBA, he's never going to be that guy. And even though I wrote that article and I said I was letting go, it's really hard to break that off of your mind, and it sounds like it's time to really, really do that.
Yeah, you know, I think Grizzlies fans have kind of accepted the fact that Parsons is never going to be what you're paying for. But I do find it at least a little, I guess, encouraging from the standpoint that he's been ready to go, because I kind of thought, you know, I kind of wrote about this, but there may be, I at one point thought that he may have been done, and that injury, like the injury retirement that Tillery had reported, I thought that was like an actual possibility. But to hear him say that, you know, he's been itching to get back, that makes me feel at least a little bit better about where he is in terms of recovery. So, I mean, really you just have to hope that they can manage his minutes this season and then next season once he's, you know, he's going to be another year removed from the surgery, like I said. You just kind of hope that he's what he was at the beginning of the season, which was a pretty efficient bench piece, and he's just able to do that more consistently and give you just like a few more minutes, even if it's not as a starter.
Not at the starter. Oh, man, that hurts. Okay, let's take some calls here. All right, again, 347-327-9173 if you want to call into the show. We already have a couple of callers on the line, a couple of 901s here, which is always nice. We'll go to the guy who's been on hold the longest or the person who's been on hold the longest, 901-218. You are on with Brandon and I on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Who are we talking to?
This is the Yonk.
The Yonk.
Hey, Yonk.
I'm telling you, I feel like we need to make this a segment, Yonk. I feel like we just need to have you on at the end of the show almost every week here, and folks can ask you questions because you are quite wise, Yonk.
The Yonk is here to help your ratings.
We did have a pretty good week last week, so it was either me yelling and ranting and raving like a lunatic, or it was everybody excited that the Yonk was on the air. What do you got for us this week, Yonk?
The Yonk wants to know your impressions of last night's officiating of the basketball contest between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Yonk will also have thoughts.
All right, let's start with Brandon. Brandon, what do you think?
The one thing that I've really just had a problem with officials this year, and like more than ever, is just they've got such a quick trigger with techs this year, and they're just, it seems like are they getting a certain cut of the money from the fines that they're bringing in? Because that's what it seems like. They're calling, like, Bickerstaff has gotten teed up so many times for stuff that's like, just he's talking to his players, and he's gotten thrown out of games for just stupid stuff. Harrison's gotten technical calls, and it's not just the Grizzlies. Like that Courtney Lee technical foul that he got in that game against the Knicks when there was like a jump ball with 3 seconds left, or it was a 3-point game. But just the officiating this year, they've been overly sensitive, and it seems like the Grizzlies have not gotten calls, and I think that you saw more of that last night. Especially, I'm just sick of these technical calls, like all of these terrible technical fouls that they've been calling all season.
And Yonk, I think I know where you stand on this, but I'll just chime in here. I do think that it's important to point out before we completely obliterate the refs that the Grizzlies are really bad at fouling. They reach a lot. They don't move their feet. They're overly aggressive, and they do really dumb things like Mario Chalmers did last night. You can't put yourself in a position, even if you do believe that the officials are out to get you, in air quotes. And there's some truth to that because there is a trend here. I wouldn't necessarily say out to get you. Yonk probably put it in a better way than me. But you need to acknowledge the Grizzlies do foul a lot, and they've always kind of been that way, at least the past couple of years. However, there's no doubt that the discrepancy is not that large. I do think that you can just watch the game and you'll see, especially a Marc Gasol or an Andrew Harrison driving to the rim, you know, they do not get the respect that other players do. Now, part of that is, you know, Russell Westbrook's the reigning MVP, or, you know, James Harden is a possible MVP candidate. The fact that they're not all stars, maybe the officiating crews know where their butter their bread is buttered, so to speak. But at the same time, you have to understand how it looks to a fan base, or whatever you want to call us, half media, half fan, blogger, podcaster people, you know, or the media. I mean, you hear Brevin Knight and Pete Pranica, they lose their minds on an almost nightly basis now. They know the game a lot better than a lot of folks. So I do think there's something there. And I think that it's not entirely fair to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have to get better defending without fouling, but at the same time, the discrepancy is massive. What do you think, Yonk?
The Yonk does not dispute your assertion that the Grizzlies foul entirely too damn much. This is an established fact.
Yes, sir.
However, the overall discrepancy between teams this year has been beyond appalling. On the one hand, the Yonk does see it from the standpoint of the officials. The Yonk understands this is not the easiest job on the face of the planet. Every single call is scrutinized. Furthermore, the Yonk does assert that the players bitch entirely too fucking much. But there is a reason that they are complaining. It centers on the inconsistency. A foul on one end of the floor is not a foul on the other end of the floor. And so, thus, we are left to ask the question, what is reality and what is not reality? An existential question of NBA officiating, indeed. The Unk asserts that something has gone very wrong, wrong to the point that the league recognizes it enough to have a player-referee summit held during the All-Star break. The tensions have been mounting throughout the season, and I believe that the league recognizes that it is at a turning point. Here's your problem. If the officials continue on this path, the small market teams are going to begin to lose their fan bases. This is not good for the revenue of the league. And I do believe money drives a lot of it. But if you want a league that is going to have higher and higher viewership, the games have to be officiated evenly in order for the fans to stay engaged. Otherwise, they begin to check out. I believe that's starting to happen on a number of levels. I've talked to many season ticket holders who have thrown their hands up in the air, and they've said, yes, our front office is populated by morons. Yes, we shouldn't have signed this player, or we shouldn't have traded that player. But the number one complaint that I'm hearing from season ticket holders is, why should I pay all of this money to watch a game that won't be fairly officiated? Rules are rules. Facts are facts. Either you enforce a rule or you shouldn't have the rule. This is generally the way civilized motherfucking societies work. In the case of the National Basketball Association and its officials, they very well could be a microcosm for the nation at large. This is something the Unk ponders late at night in his bunker while writing love letters to his constituency.
Unk, you've given us a lot to ponder there. And I do think that the money is involved in some way, shape, or form. But again, as you put it, at what point does it become a negative impact? And I know that, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies are slim pickings compared to the Lakers and the Celtics, and obviously the Cavaliers, as long as LeBron is there, you know, these other big market squads. But you got to give a little bit of competitive relevance. It really is kind of frustrating, and especially in a season like this, where you already kind of feel like things are collapsing around you, whether it's the front office not doing simple things that they're supposed to do, or the ownership questions that hang over the organization's head, the players not playing well. We talked to Tim McMahon about Marc Gasol's basketball mortality on display. You have Chandler Parsons, who is never going to be what he was supposed to be. There's so much going wrong. And then on top of that, you have to deal with this stuff from the refs. It's really frustrating. So I'm with you on that, Unk. You got anything else for us before you let us go, or before we let you go?
The Unk is overall pleased with the developmental efforts of the team. And this is something that the fan that should engage the fan base. They want to see the underdog win the game. Memphis loves an underdog. They adore an underdog. And when they feel that they are being robbed of something for which they have put so much effort into, you end up with a group of angry Memphians. Does the world really need more angry Memphians? The Unk thinks not. And the Unk, on that note, bids you good night.
Thank you so much, Unk. Have a good night.
Thanks, Unk. Good night.
Unk is the man. I got to tell you. Unk gave us a lot to ponder there. Brandon, to be honest with you, I don't know if I have anything to add. He is truly a wise and honorable Unk.
Absolutely.
He's fantastic. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, site manager over at SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. You can follow the blog at SBN Grizzlies, joined by my co-host, associate editor Brandon Connor. Follow him at Ball From Grace. We got another caller here, and then we can probably call it a podcast for the week. Another 901-356 this time. You are on with Brandon and I on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Who are we talking to?
Hey, guys. Jesse again.
Hey,
Jesse. What's up?
How's it going?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I know it is this time.
Hey, guys. So I guess my kind of thoughts for tonight after, like, thinking about the trade deadline, all that stuff, what really frustrates me with the lack of a Tyreek trade, and even at this point, a lack of a Brandon Wright trade, was kind of the narrow path that Chris Wallace has left for us to consider a successful non-trade. Because there's so many levels at which this trade could trigger a failure, be it like the worst-case scenario, you win too many games, end up with a 12th pick, and Reek walks. And, or, heck, let's pretend you re-sign Reek, and then, you know, a guy with an injury history re-injures himself. It's kind of Chris Wallace being Chris Wallace and throwing risks to the wind and taking a very dangerous gamble that could damage you in the long run, which shouldn't surprise us, but just really, like, triggered the entire fan base last week. That's kind of where I'm feeling right now. That's kind of my main complaint with this whole scenario, isn't that, oh, he bailed on great assets, but that he left us a narrow margin for making this a correct and, you know, positive move.
There are just so many avenues for this being a complete disaster. I do think that you owe it – owe it is not the right word. I think it's worth, before completely ripping the whole organization to shreds, if they truly believe that Tyreek Evans will stay in Memphis for the mid-level exception, if they think they have a legitimate shot at that, they have a belief that Mike Conley comes back, again, Chandler Parsons is what he is, but they do the best they can with him. You add a high draft pick. They think that they can make a playoff run or at least get back in the playoffs next year. I think there's valid thought processes there if that is a realistic possibility. But that has to include, Brandon, the thought process that you've got a handshake deal in your pocket. And like we talked about with Tim, who's to say that the Lakers don't – Cleveland keeps LeBron. They sign Paul George, the Lakers do. But now they have all this free cash. They want to be players in the free agent class the next year. Sign Tyreek Evans to a one-year, $19 million contract. Is he going to say no to that because he loves Memphis so much? I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I think especially given where he is in his career, given his injury history, given his age, like, he's not in a position to, like, turn down money. He gambled on himself this year. And that gamble was supposed to pay off in terms of, you know, getting a big contract next year or, you know, getting traded to a contender to help, you know, boost his value even more. But, like, the Grizzlies, without, they didn't trade him. And so I think I would encourage everybody to go and listen to the Harrington podcast, the Commercial Appeal Pick and Popcast. He put it out yesterday, I believe, with Chris Vernon. It's really I think they had a really good discussion. And Chris Vernon actually says if Tyreek does not come back next year, if they lose him and he walks and you got nothing for him, he thinks Wallace loses his job. He just thinks that you basically cannot come back from that. And so I think they have to have – there's no – we talked about the incompetence, but there's no way that they weren't talking to Tyreek while this was going down, like, hey – it doesn't look like we're going to get a deal done. Are you okay with staying here? Or do we really need to move you? So I think there's at least been some discussion there. I think they may have at least have some word from Tyreek's camp that he wouldn't be totally opposed to that. But if he doesn't come back, you're basically you've screwed the pooch, so to speak.
It'd be a disaster, a 100%
absolutely
unmitigated absolute ugly thing. And I agree with Vernon. I don't see how he survives that either. Jesse, how are you spending your weekend? We were talking with Tim about how there is no Grizzly really in the All-Star game beyond Dylan Brooks, obviously participating in the Rising Stars. So we don't really have to watch the game this weekend. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to get out of my mom's basement, as all of us bloggers, that's where we all live. And I'm going to take in some oxygen, and I'm going to enjoy myself. Are you still going to watch the festivities this weekend, Jesse?
I might catch some of it as I can. I got a 3-year-old that keeps me crazy busy. I'll definitely try to catch the Rising Stars Challenge. I want to see Dylan Brooks do his business. I've never been an All-Star Weekend guy. I've never really enjoyed that component of the NBA. A big reason I'm a Grizz fan when I came back to the NBA was the whole playing defense component, and that's just not part of All-Star Weekend. You don't get the defense that game. Yeah, so it'll be me playing with a 3-year-old and working.
That's a good way to do it. I'll be in a similar boat.
I think the dunk contest this year actually has the potential for some to be good. I mean, you got a couple of young guys. You got Dennis Smith Jr. You got Donovan Mitchell, who are both like incredibly exciting. I think the dunk contest this year might actually be worth watching. And I'm not a guy who like. I think the skills competitions, like the 3-point contest and the dunk contest and the skills challenge, are probably better than the actual game. That's what I prefer to watch. But I think this year's dunk contest is going to be pretty good.
I'd agree. I think it's going to be pretty solid as well. Jesse, thank you so much for calling in, bud.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes, Jesse, on the line, and it's nice, Brandon, to be able to have some folks calling in. You know, 2 weeks in a row, we have some live listeners. Appreciate you guys calling into the show. Thank you, Unc, of course, and then thanks, Jesse, for calling in. And then in the future, we'll continue to take callers as long as folks want to call them. Maybe we need to give the Unc a segment. We'll see. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am one of your hosts, Joe Molinax, joined, as always, by my co-host, Brandon Connor. Follow him on Twitter at Ball From Grace. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Molinax. You can follow our podcast, GBB Live, which you are listening to currently, at GBB Live. And you can follow our blog, SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues, at SBN Grizzlies. Brandon, we'll get you out of here on this. Again, we talked a little bit about the All-Star Weekend there with Jesse. What is your overall hope for this weekend? Maybe any predictions you have, bold predictions, takes. Obviously, just Dylan Brooks participating in the Rising Stars on Friday, and then it'll be a Grizzlies-less weekend. We'll be back on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves on February 22nd, previewing the second half of the season. But what are you looking at as you prepare to watch this weekend's festivities?
I have two predictions. One, Donovan Mitchell wins the dunk contest. And two, Russell Westbrook becomes the first All-Star player to dunk on his own teammate when he dunks on Kevin Durant.
I like that second prediction. I like that one a lot. That's pretty good. I like your first one. I also would take Donovan Mitchell to win the slam dunk contest. My next prediction would be
he's a freak. So much fun to watch.
He's
so much fun.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the better guys to watch of that young rookie class. A lot of talented cats, but Donovan Mitchell's up there at the top with Ben Simmons and others like that. So I'm with you on that pick. My other prediction would be, I'm not much of a gambler. I know you do the game lines every night. I don't know what the over-under for total points scored in the game is this year, the actual All-Star game itself. I'm taking the over. Whatever it is,
I would take the over.
Always take the over in the All-Star game. It was something absurd, like last year, like 340 or something, even higher than that probably, and they still beat it. It was whatever the score was, it was close to like 400 total points scored. So to take the over, as Jesse was talking about, there's not much defense in the All-Star game. So lots of offense, lots of alley-oops and dunks and all that stuff. But I agree. I prefer All-Star Saturday night more than the game itself at this point. And then several days off, well-deserved and much needed for the Grizzlies. And then next week, we will predict the rest of the preview, the rest of the regular season. For Brandon Connor, my great co-host, again, at Ball from Grace, make sure you're following him there. Thanks so much to those who called in, Jesse and the Unk. Thanks to our tremendous guest this week, ESPN's Tim McMahon. Lots of good stuff on the show this week. Again, we'll be back next week, February 22nd, recording on these Blog Talk Radio airwaves. We'll be back at our regularly scheduled time, more than likely on February 22nd, back at 8 Central Time. For those of you that are listening live, obviously you can follow us on the Blog Talk Radio Network. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and never miss a show there. We'll be doing another giveaway next week. Be ready to look for Mandera Designs updates on that. It'll probably be a Twitter-based giveaway next week. So make sure you're following us at UB Live, and we will do a giveaway of another great Mandera Designs product. It's been a great show. It's been a great pre-All-Star slate. As bad as the Grizzlies have been, I think our JBB Lives have been pretty solid, so we got that going for us. We'll continue to get better, continue to make GrizzlyBearBlues.com a part of your blogging, podcasting, Memphis Grizzlies fan experience. Again, for Brandon, I am Joe. Thank you all so much for listening wherever you are, however you may be taking us in. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you. Make sure you're enjoying the brief respite from Grizzlies basketball. I'll be back before you know it. Until then, grind forth, Grizz Nation. This has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.